You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, yes, we are solid, conservative, and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time, I like to say. Well, listen, we're going to the phones right now, bringing on somebody who I have known for a number of years. I really appreciate her. I appreciate her company. State Representative Connie Rowe represented in the Alabama House of Representatives, represented the Jasper area in District 13. She left that to take on a position as the senior advisor to the lieutenant governor earlier this year. And she also, by the way, though, aside from her roles in politics, she has a long history in law enforcement, having also served as, I believe, the first and maybe only woman to have been the police chief of the city of Jasper. So without any further ado, let me bring on my friend Connie Rowe. Connie Rowe, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Phil Williams, and I love you too. You're my favorite senator, my favorite ranger, my favorite talk show radio host. I could go on and on.
Well, I just, by the way, I didn't pay her to say all that, but thank you, Connie. Thank you very much. So, all right, senior advisor to the lieutenant governor. How's the new gig, by the way? I haven't talked to you in a while. You actually overpaid and underworked over there, or what?
You know, I'm sure that there are some folks who that is their station in life, but our lieutenant governor is a busy person. He has a busy personality. I tell him he blows into the office like a hurricane, and I can't wait for it to go out back to the water sometimes, or to move on or to dissipate. But he keeps me busy. He's, you know, always hustling. He's always into something.
Well, he's got you now to also help him interact and interface with the legislative body and other matters of policy. So so I think that was a wise move on his part. And there are some
I think it's a good combination. I'm old enough to almost be his mom. my outlook on life is a little different. We have some worldview differences that make interesting conversations. But, you know, no doubt about it, Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth does exactly what he wants to do. But he does like to hear all sides of the story to consider in decision making. So it's been a good gig for me.
Well, so if you're that much older, is that why you're called the senior advisor? Is that what's happening here?
I think so. I actually think that I have accused him of that.
Nice. Well, hey, let me shift gears on you. By the way, thank you for your many years of service, not just in the legislature, but in law enforcement. And I'm doing a segment right now on the show. I'm calling it Back the Blue. And there's been some, you know, difficult news of late, not the least of which is the fact that we lost another one of our men in blue, in this case, a deputy sheriff in Bibb County.
Brad Johnson.
Yeah, Brad Johnson. And you know, I joked about you a minute ago. I made the little euphemism there that you're, you know, underworked and overpaid. All is exactly the opposite for most of the men and women in law enforcement. They are overworked and underpaid. And I don't think people fully appreciate sometimes what they do and what it takes to do what they do with as little appreciation as they get.
You know, sometimes the general public sees police officers directing school traffic, police officers running a radar gun, police officers in a role that is not necessarily dangerous or perceived to be dangerous, and their concept of law enforcement may follow that vein. And the truth is that those same guys get in the car before their shift's over. They run a tag number, comes back on a stolen vehicle, and then what happened in Bibb County could happen to them. And so, you know, it's a highly faceted career choice. Shift in and of itself is just full of some very positive community interaction things, some very dangerous things, and potentially dangerous things. You never know who you're going to stop. You never know what their intentions are. You never know how determined they are to do what they have set about to do and how they disregard human life.
Well, and it's true. And And I was just looking, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit later on after you and I have had a chance to talk. This year will be 25 years since a major shooting involving law enforcement in Rainbow City, Alabama, where Charlene and I used to live, that took the life of Captain McCurley and wounded two others, one of whom had to have an amputation. But it seems like it's more prolific lately. And I'm wondering, in your opinion, are we seeing more violence against police officers in the last few years than we have in the past, or are they just getting reported more?
No, I don't think they're getting reported more. I think that there is a shift. I think that there is a disregard for life across the board. And I think that there is a disrespect for law enforcement in particular. You know, there was a time when, it's a joke with kids. Sometimes they'll say, oh, there's a police officer, everybody acts straight. There was just some regard for law enforcement. There was regard for the law and for people who enforce the law, for the uniform, for the badge, for the blue lights, you know, I think that wanes. In today's culture. I just believe it does. A host of things that have contributed to that over the last several years. And it's very, very discouraging, very disappointing, but I think that's where they are. I do think it happens more frequently.
Well, let me ask you this, Connie. I don't know what you know about the situation that you can share that maybe more than what the media is saying, but the shooter in this particular case that killed Deputy Brad Johnson, he was a violent multi-offender. I mean, he had a long rap sheet, like over 46 times he had been arrested. He was a repeat felon. Austin Patrick Hall was his name. They finally caught him. But, you know, I saw where Jim Ziegler says he shouldn't have even been out of jail. I don't know what the status is, but he had been qualified for work release, even with a most recent history of violent crime. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are. How did this guy get out and have the ability to be on the streets in the first place?
Well, and there's an escape history also.
Oh, wow.
I can't imagine why he qualified for work release. I try not to be critical of folks until you have all of the facts, but 46 arrests between the ages of 19 and I believe he's 26. I may be wrong on that.
Yeah.
A 7-year period of time. That's more than 5 arrests a year. Something's wrong if there's not there's not a bell going off in somebody's head when they look at that rap sheet. I think it's probably a calamity of errors. I would say this. I think that the Attorney General, I'm sure, is going to look into exactly where the failure occurred, and he has a very capable team of people to assist him and do that. But we'll know before it's over exactly who it was or what series of people it was that put him in the position to be released, but it was a mistake.
Well, it definitely was a mistake. And we're seeing more than once, it seems like, there have been policies. And people don't think about Alabama as being a soft-on-crime state, but I would say that we're a moderately hard, on-crime state.
There was a time, some of the policies I think, when we were a very tough-on-crime state. I'll roll it back through some... Well, I won't roll it back, but there were some people in our past and in state politics who were very, very tough on crime, and that's what they promoted to be. But you can only be as tough as the system is. And for the last couple of years, the trend has been, let's let everybody out of jail. We don't want to spend any money building prisons. Let's turn as many people loose as we possibly can. And, we let go of 95% of the people we put in prison. I'm all about releasing those that we can or that are eligible to be released, I should say, with the best possibility of not coming back. Let's give them a certification where they can get a job. Let's give them an ID where they can apply for a job. Let's do all of those things. But there's some folks that just need to stay locked up. And if we don't have room to keep those people locked up, when we get through with these mega prisons, I think we need to build some more. I'm probably the only person that ran in 2014 on let's build more prisons. Because I want you to think about this. And I want your listeners to think about this. Why is it that we have laws, that we employ police officers, that they go out and enforce the laws, that we go to grand jury, that we have indictments that are returned, that we have warrants signed, that we arrest people, that we go through the trial process or the pleading process, that somebody finally gets sentenced and we're going to send them to prison if all we're going to do is turn them loose.
Yeah.
Why are we doing all of this?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, final moments here before we wrap up, Connie, but your time previously as a police chief and the years you spent also just in the rank and file, but when I don't know what y'all had, morning roll call or what, but I assume that there were protocols that you enforced that your guys, your ladies would make sure that they had their vests on and everything else. Talk to me about that briefly. What did you send them out the door? What were the kind of things you told your folks about being safe?
Well, first of all, they're trained. They're trained when they come through the law enforcement academies with the Alabama Peace Officers Standard and Training Commission. And second of all, we had roll call, and most departments have roll call at the beginning of each shift. And, you know, there's always a host of training interdepartmental that has to do with, you know, safety. I've talked to some folks who were close to the scene when this happened. I don't think either one of these guys did anything that was unsafe. They got out of their vehicle. And unfortunately, he was prepared for them to get out of their vehicle. And two headshots.
Wow.
You know, you and I have a dear friend, a state senator who lives in that area. Her husband is a doctor, and her husband actually went to the hospital with the young man who passed away yesterday, Brad Johnson. And this all occurred right around her house. And it's, you know, for his family, for his police family, for everybody else that puts on a uniform and calls in tag numbers that come back to stolen vehicles. My thoughts and prayers are with them all and their families.
Well, Connie Rowe, we got to leave it there, but appreciate you making time today. But more than that, we appreciate what you have done for this state and for your community. And we wish you the best and look forward to talking to you about something more lighthearted in the future.
I appreciate you, brother. Talk to you soon.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, Copper, move us to a break, and we will take that right now and come right back. That was Connie Rowe, former state representative, now senior advisor to the lieutenant governor, and, oh, by the way, the first female police chief of the city of Jasper, and a good friend. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Back with more about Back the Blue. We'll be right back.